Hello, Internet, and welcome to the 227th episode of the Voluntary Viewing Podcast, coming to you on August 6th, 2023. On the podcast, we have a man back from abroad, specifically Indonesia. Ryan, how was that?
I'm alive.
Yeah.
Made it. I arrived like 30 hours ago, and yeah, my sleep schedule is still not synced up to this time zone. So
not to this day.
Yeah.
You're living on a different day.
It's Monday in my brain.
Oh.
I took off from Tokyo Airport at 4 p.m. on a Saturday and arrived at LAX at noon on that same Saturday. I went back in time.
I was thinking about this. I'm living my life poorly if you visited Japan before I did. Like, what am I doing?
I never left the airport. So I don't think it counts. I feel like you have to leave the airport.
I think it counts because airports counting are the only way I've been to England. So
haven't been to England.
I had black tea and saw a Beatles standee. Like, that's England.
I ate some Japanese food and saw a bunch of Japanese athletes like Shohei Ohtani.
Oh.
Not in person, like their advertisements and stuff.
Okay.
But no, I don't think that counts. Huh. No, Andrew's the tiebreaker. Andrew, does it count to visit a country if you never left the airport?
No.
Yeah. Wow.
I'm gonna take a hard stance there.
Okay, I'm torn. Now, Ryan, now I still have a chance of getting to Japan before Ryan, but also I've never been to England then, and that's... Well, actually, am I missing much not being in England?
I don't think you're missing much not being anywhere.
Okay.
I got to check off Paris, but that's because my plane got canceled.
Yeah, no, you actually, at the very least, saw some of the city out of, like, the window of a cab, right?
No, I walked around the fucking little village.
Oh,
shit, because I didn't have an adapter to charge my phone. So I had to walk to a random convenience store with no signal. So I, like, plotted my route out beforehand and walked and spoke no French and just, like, kind of pointed the thing I wanted to buy because it was behind the desk. Yeah.
Did at any point did you point to the outlet in your phone? Do you think that would have been enough that they would have, I need the thing that goes in here?
It's not even for your phone. It's like a plug. You plug it into the plug and then you can plug your plug into that.
Oh.
Yeah, it's not even like a charger.
It's a wall socket.
Yeah.
Adapter.
Okay.
So it was just kind of like adapter pointing. And he was like, what?
And then you lit a cigarette and you took a big puff and then you said adapter. And he's like, oh.
Yeah, lit a cigarette, took a big puff. Adapter. And he was like, oh. And he gave it to me for free.
Well, he was on strike. He wasn't even supposed to be there. But he was doing it ironically as a protest.
Yeah. Yeah, and then I got hit with a flying bottle and the police arrested me mistakenly. France.
Any highlights about Indonesia that you're willing to share? Like, I know very little about what it's like to be in that country for an extended period of time.
Yeah. Bali is very touristy, especially for the Australians down under.
Oh.
So yeah, we went to like some temples, spent time on the beach, biked through some rice fields, went to like these very scenic photo shoot areas that like are completely overrun with tourists now. Instagram literally ruined, like, it was kind of a hidden gem that Instagram ruined.
You ever see Instagram ruin an entire city? Welcome
entire
to Bali.
Island.
Yeah, dude. Oh.
Literally, Nusa Penida is a small island off of Bali that you have to take a ferry to get to, and the whole island is like very underdeveloped and not at all like equipped to deal with the thousands of people that come in to take their Instagram pictures. The roads are literally like sometimes like narrower than one car.
Oh.
And so both cars have to like go off the road in order to pass each other. And yeah, it's kind of a mess.
Oh.
And then Jakarta is very, very polluted, but also very cool and has some excellent malls and food and culture and everything. So, yeah.
Do you have a favorite meal from your time there?
I did end up getting some food poisoning and everything.
Oh.
But my favorite meal, I don't know. I had a lot of really good satay, which is essentially just like chicken or any sort of meat skewer. Very tasty, very well done. So, yeah, some satay.
Love to hear that. Also on the podcast today, we have Andrew Clark. He's wearing a Brewer shirt, so I'm going to ask him how the boys doing. We stand a chance this year.
Yeah. I mean, we're probably the best team in the division. I think we might still be like a game behind the Reds.
Okay. Because
they went on a bit of a run while we got on a bit of a not run. We lost today. I think we won yesterday. But yeah, oh no, we are, holy shit. The Reds went on the opposite of a tear. We are once again, the number one team in the NL Central. The Brewers are actually pretty solid this year, and they just have found a way to lose a lot of games that they shouldn't have lost. We're like maybe the worst team I've ever seen with runners in scoring position. We just can't manufacture offense. But a lot of big bats, a lot of really young guys, which is not something that like anybody expected. We've got like five rookies that are getting like consistent playing time. Most of them are starting. And one of them, the best one, is like hurt. He got hurt like a couple months ago and is out for the season. Garrett Mitchell, that was like kind of looking like he might run away with rookie of the year after that first couple weeks of the season. And then just a bunch of guys that popped out of nowhere, like, holy shit, these kids can play. And the Brewers' whole issue was that they were a really old team that didn't have much of a future. They were in like win now mode because they didn't have anyone that was coming up that could help them later on, and now that's not the case at all. So yeah, they're a fun to watch team. They still like rely too heavily on pitching and defense. They strike out a lot, but they also do some fun shit.
I love to hear that. Is a part of the recovery the fact that a lot of our injured players have recovered potentially? I remember kind of the first month of the season that was very much denoted by some critical players getting injured or like not optimal condition for the Brewers.
There was some of that. There were a bunch of players that were hurt, and there was some of like, yeah, they would come back and they'd be healthy and like that was a big boost. But a lot of the guys, either they came back and they sucked and they got replaced by these younger players, or like Luis Urias was injured for a while and everyone's like, oh man, we need him back. And he came back. He was awful. We traded him at the trade deadline, like for nothing, just to like get him on another team where he could maybe contribute because he had fallen behind all these young guys. Mm-hmm. Some of them are still hurt. And then there's guys that are like getting ready to come back and everyone's kind of thinking like, are they gonna come back and replace the guy that replaced them? Cause that guy's pretty good. Not really sure what they're gonna do there. They made a couple of additions at the trade deadline, like veteran guys that could help out, you know, standard Brewer way, no big blockbusters, but good moves.
Well, I can't wait to watch us get stripped for parts in 2 or 3 years when all these young players just leave.
But what a great 2 or 3 years it'll be until then.
Yeah, great 2 or 3 years of maybe winning one playoff series the whole time.
We might make an NLCS and then get bounced.
That's still a win for me. Also, me in this case is Lucas DeRuyter. I'm here too. And one of the favorite things I have read recently is the Indianapolis Colts entry in Defector's annual Why Your Team Sucks series in the lead up to the upcoming football season.
Free Jonathan Taylor.
Do you guys remember Jeff Saturday?
Yeah.
He played for the Packers.
For 1 year. But yeah.
And was inexplicably the Colts coach last year.
Yeah.
And they did better under him than they did before their coach got fired.
Did they?
Did they have more wins?
I don't know if you won a game. I think they might have won.
No, they definitely. I know they won at least one. I thought they won two games. 2022 season. Let's see. Don't care about their draft. I want to see their schedule. When was he fired? Fired. Control F. Frank Wright was fired November 7th.
Okay, they did win. Oh, okay, so they won that next week.
They won that first game. That's
and then they lost the next seven.
Yeah, and then they lost seven in a row. So that's what I was thinking of, is they won that first game, and it was like, what?
Oh, maybe there's something to this Jeff Saturday. The secret behind all of these write-ups is that the most enjoyable ones are the weird ones, are the ones where this team is bad, not because there was deliberate tanking, not because just sometimes teams are bad in the NFL or very good in the NFL. It's when weird shit, like bringing on a guy who has never been a head coach before anywhere.
But that's a Jim Irsay thing.
Jim Irsay might be the only man to get weirder after getting off of drugs.
I mean, I recently discovered Jim Irsay's old Twitter, like a comedian that I follow was acting out the tweets that he made. There was some bonkers shit in there. I don't even know if I could emulate it. Just like utter nonsense from like 2011, where he's not saying anything. It's like, when it was like, breasts are the bread of butts or some shit. Like, dude, he's weird.
He's a second generation NFL owner. So I don't know, man. I think we're learning. We're just seeing what generational wealth does to people.
What generational wealth does to a motherfucker?
He grew up around an NFL team from the time he was a little kid, and was groomed from the time he was a little kid to own an NFL team. Like, he's a weird dude, man.
Jim Irsay, NFL Nepo baby.
I mean, I don't even know what a Nepo baby, like, in terms of just owning a family business.
I don't know if that's nepotism, if it's just inheritance. Yeah.
Like, that's just, it's the same as your buddy inheriting his dad's lawn care business, but on a much bigger scale. Like,
I feel like at least, well, okay, it depends on the person, depends on the hometown, but I at least think that hometown shit, if your buddy's a pill popper, he doesn't get the lawn care business. Like,
that's a stipulation. The one
rule. Like, hey, son, all of this, everything the light touches is yours. You just got to stay off the dope.
I mean, look at Bush.
Yeah.
George W. Bush had an older brother who wasn't on drugs, and and he still got to be president.
He was the W. He was the junior, kind of, but not really.
Yeah, no,
different middle name, kind of.
That is kind of weird that, like, you would have a son, not name them Junior, then have another son and be like, this is the one that's going to be me 2.0.
But not really, because Herbert Walker versus Walker. They were like, no, we'll drop the Herbert part. He's not a real junior. I don't know. I don't get it.
It's just now occurring to me, maybe I'm dumb, but like a lot of Because, like, every presidential election when we were growing up, it was like, oh, is this it? Is this when Hillary Clinton finally runs? Until she actually did run, and that was a lot of problems. But a lot of adults just in my radius as a child were like, well, you know, if Clinton does run, I don't know what that's like. Man, do we need political dynasty families right now in America? Yeah. And it's like,
people Bush! Said that?
Yes. Oh, did you not?
No one said that in my. That's insane.
No, I heard the
incumbent president when she was running was a political dynasty member. Like, that is a storied tradition. One of, like, our second and sixth president was a political dynasty.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but I mean, like, these are also the same people that voted for both of the Bushes.
Right, that's what I'm saying. And husband and wife is kind of not as much of a political dynasty in a weird way. Like, that's not the same as, like...
She made that connection, or her parents did, or fucking whatever. I'm not going to get into that.
Oh, that was
an
arranged-ass marriage.
Yeah, like, I know.
You know the Clintons. Come on now.
No, I am well aware of the arranged nature of that union, but... Yeah, and, like...
Same with FDR and Eleanor, you know?
Yeah, if, like, if their kid ran, like, you know?
Chelsea? I don't know if Chelsea can run. I think Chelsea's
No. I'm saying, like, if Chelsea ran and they're like, oh, Dynasty. Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you remember when people were like, Michelle Obama should run for president?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Just because they liked Obama.
Just because, Barack Obama's popular.
People are trying to get him to, like, run for Supreme Court, and it's like, what?
No.
Has he ever practiced law? I know he was a law professor, but was he an actual, like, attorney at any point?
I want to say no.
Did Obama ever practice
law? I know that, like, qualifications are irrelevant for the Supreme Court nowadays. Like, you can just... name whoever the fuck you want and they'll go through.
I mean, I hope to God that he does, because it'd be really cool if I saw, like, a Obama and Harrison law firm, like, were you injured in a trucking accident? We
do a personal injury.
Yeah,
he's like a professor of law at the University of Chicago.
Injured personally.
Trucking accident. Subheading in an article by Dan Morian from 2008, LA Times. In his book, Speeches and Campaign Commercials, Senator Barack Obama often harks back to his days as a civil rights attorney.
There you go.
Yeah.
The best kind. Yeah, not quite personal injury, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, like, personal injury, civil rights, those are pretty comparable levels of prestige, I feel like. You know,
he's just the guy on TikTok with all the rings from, like, Mississippi or whatever.
You know? Listen, if you don't have one, you get a lot of the other. So, yeah, related. Speaking of politics now, we're going to be jumping around this doc. Donald Trump has been indicted for the January 6th insurrection. Do we think this is going to stick? Is this beneficial to both the Democrats in the upcoming presidential election? Will he be indicted again? Take it away, everyone.
He still wasn't indicted for Georgia election interference yet, right?
That's upcoming. Yeah.
Like, that's the one that's still pending.
Yeah, no, they're getting ready to go on that one.
So
and that one's actually that one, and I forget what he's indicted for in New York, but the state level ones are actually potentially the most interesting, because presidents can't pardon state level crimes. So in the nightmare world where Trump wins again, like, he is still potentially on the hook for those, but we know lawyers are cowards and won't actually hold him accountable because that happened already.
So there's the document of one, the classified document that's completely separate.
Mm-hmm.
There's the insurrection one, which involves, like, the attempt to overturn the election on a federal level. Like, those two are combined. There's the riot itself, right, the insurrection, but then also the trying to overturn the election. is those are combined into one thing, into one just like overall treason kind of deal. But then the Georgia election one is a separate case.
Mm.
And there's the hush money. Stormy Daniels one, which came first.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah. No, if he wins in 2024 and a state tries to like extradite him to prison, that's going to be a genuine constitutional crisis.
That's how a civil war starts. And this time, the state's rights people are kind of the good guys.
It's not about imprisoning presidents. It's about states' rights.
The state's right to what?
Yeah, states' rights to do what?
It is completely reversed.
The war of federalist aggression. The states were just trying to exercise their God-given right to put the president in jail. And the fucking federal government came in there.
The states will rise again.
Like, overstep their bounds.
The flag that we see on pickup trucks 100 years from now have like prison bars on them. And
the snake is in jail. Yeah. I got shredded on. Yeah.
I really want one of these to stick. I really want there to be any form of justice in the world, in the systems we have created in the world. I know, as a 28-year-old man living in America, not to get my hopes up about this shit, but, you know, as a treat for me, gang, come on, one of them even, do one.
He's already publicly intimidated witnesses, and that
was admitted
into the records already.
I saw something about that where, and I kind of agree with this. I don't know if it's like a conscious effort, but like with the way that the Republican Party and everyone that votes for them has kind of ganged up behind this, going, you know, oh, they're just trying to silence them. They're just trying to like keep them from running because they're afraid. They don't want them to run. They're all corrupt. This has nothing to do with the crimes that he committed, which he didn't commit. you know, shit like that. But it's like some people think that he might be trying to fish for a gag order so that he can continue to call this like a sham proceeding. Like, you know, these cases are not legitimate. They're just trying to silence me and silence you by extension so that these proceedings won't go forward with like a normal jury trial, that Donald Trump will be gagged, held in contempt of court. The trial will go on without him. He'll be found guilty, and then they can say this wasn't a legitimate case. You know, this is a political stunt. I don't have to abide by these rules. I'm still the president, so you can't send me to prison. And then anybody that gets involved with it is going to get, you know, warred upon.
I would believe that if it was someone more savvy than Trump. Like, I just don't.
Well, I mean,
his I don't know team, about that much.
It's, I mean, the whole is, it's the whole Republican Party.
The
is
Four Seasons landscaping team, like
no, I mean the Republican Rudy Giuliani's Party in general, on this.
Like fucking Chris Christie and other like more established Republicans are like calling for all of the investigations to continue and everything. Like there is Republican resistance to that.
But a
like,
lot of those people are running Trump for president stuff. Against him.
Right.
Like, and like Mike Pence.
Yeah, like Pence. Like, and that's not insignificant. Like the Republicans have options this year. And
I
just don't know that they're like the whole backing of the Republican Party is like focused on like, ooh, how can we strategize to keep Trump away from this mess so it doesn't damage him politically so we can all win in 2024. Like,
no, I mean, they're just using it as a way to attack the Democrats. And,
right.
Like,
but they can do that without saving Trump. they can let Trump die while also still calling it a sham and saying that the Democrats are playing unfair and taking out a political rival for bullshit reasons. And then also wash their hands of this orange maniac who doesn't actually understand anything about anything and is definitely going like fully to senile. Hell. Yeah. Well, and
if anything, it makes their It makes their talking point of the Democrats are fascists somehow land like just a sliver, just an iota of legitimacy if like they step out of the way and let an actual fascist go to jail, take the heat on this one.
Yeah.
I also know that and this is maybe getting in the weeds. I also know that supposedly 90% of the super PACs, the funds generated in the super PACs for the Trump campaign have gone to legal fees related to these indictments. And that's maybe not cool that money's going to that. That might be crimes also.
I think there's a lot of them that say, like, specifically on them, like, donate to his legal defense fund. Stop the Democrats from stealing America, shit like that.
It's crimes all the way down. To defend yourself against crimes, you must commit more crimes so that you can stop getting caught from committing crimes.
This is just the Simpsons joke of, if this doorway is your mortality and all of these crimes go through it simultaneously, it actually jams up the door and you're essentially immortal. You can never go to jail.
It's the old conspiracy theory that like very well could hold water, that like Trump never expected to win in 2020 and was prepared from the jump to pull the whole, like, the election was stolen. That's not a legitimate candidate. Like, I deserve to win. And then just become a new Fox, you know, start a new Fox News type business, make a ton of money, and like never intended to actually win. And then when he actually won, realized that he would be under that much more scrutiny and have that much more headaches. Like, I don't know, if you're a billionaire who's already got a lot of influence and money and everything like that, like,
what's the appeal?
Do you want to be president? Like, It does kind of track. And Succession's final season definitely did an homage to that, where like the Republican fascist presidential candidate literally says, like, I don't want to win this one. I'm totally fine to lose. Like, I'll play it and make a fuck ton of money off of it. Like, so I don't know. Maybe. And now it's just pride, you know, just pride carrying from there on out. And the fact that he is fully in deep losing legal his mind. Shit.
Yeah,
sure. And just, I think, generally has a less of a grasp on reality than he did back in 2018,
well,
2019
all those strokes
when he was campaigning.
He
oh my God, we didn't put this in the doc. McConnell just had a stroke live on TV.
Yep.
Yeah.
And that's...
That's a medical event.
We...
And then he came back like 5 minutes later and acted like nothing happened.
Yeah,
I'm sure they shot him full of something, but
McConnell looks like just dog shit. So unhealthy, man.
He looks like a corpse.
Yeah,
like
he looked bad in
like
the
when
Trump
we were
years.
Kids. Yeah, well, or sure, even that before too. That. Yeah.
I don't remember. Ago, like, look, I'm definitely not politically activated enough. I don't remember Mitch McConnell pre like late Obama. Like, mm-hmm.
I remember all the Jon Stewart, you know, like the turtle jokes and stuff like that. Because he always looked old and weird, but now he looks really bad.
Yeah.
I mean, he's 82 years old.
Yeah, he's
and,
a fucking really old man.
Right, but some people look great at 82. Some people were destined to be like, 82-year-old man. Yeah, you were always supposed to look like that. McConnell looks like he's been zapped back a couple of times.
Yeah.
Like,
McConnell died several years ago.
I feel like you always see like those pictures of like kind of more candid, not as prepped shots of people, and you're like, whoa, they look like they're about to die. And then like a few months later they have like a medical event and you're like, like, I remember Prince Philip when those pictures leaked of him looking like a literal skeleton, and it was like
he's driving in his car.
I know. And it's like he doesn't look very good, guys. And then, yeah, sure enough, a few months later, he's dead. And it's like, yeah.
Or the George H.W. Bush one where he's at the baseball game. Just for this
that meme. It just keeps coming. He doesn't even open his mouth. His mouth is always open.
Oh, and yeah. Then he it's
raises the ball. The ball is the only thing that moves.
Yeah. They shot an electrode into his arm to make it raise up.
It's so bad, dude.
He did look like a dead man.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Or, like, then Pope. Who was the last Pope? Was it John? Or the last one to die.
The one that... Yeah, not the one that stepped down, the one that
no,
died.
The one that died before that one. Is it John Paul?
Yeah, I think so.
That sounds right.
Like a couple days before he died, there was a moment where he was out on the balcony just and his arms were moving, and it seriously looked like someone was weakened at burning him. And then like someone said, I think that's a dead man. And then he died 2 days later. And I'm like, I think he might have been dead.
Yeah, I mean, I would not put it past the Catholic Church to be like, all right, we got to figure something out here. Like, that would not shock me at all.
Yeah, old people, man. They die. Unfortunately.
Something that probably should be shocking, but at this point, Elon Musk is just... Yeah, no, bad decisions, stupid decisions are synonymous with him and anything he owns. He changed the social media app Twitter to X.
Just X.
The letter X, that is.
Because he owns X.com from PayPal
he's
days.
He's obsessed with X.com, and he got forced out of PayPal because he was so obsessed with X.com. And then... Now he's like, all right, it's a good idea. Way better than PayPal.
I mean, this is maybe the worst branding decision I've ever seen on anything ever. They changed everything.
That company invented the word tweet.
Called tweets anymore.
Right.
Fucking stupid. And I get it. This rebrand is a part of a screwball attempt to make Twitter profitable by saying it's not a social media app anymore. It's
a pyramid scheme.
Whatever, insert
it's
whatever
a banking app.
Will make a venture capitalist give them money.
Yeah,
but that money is never going to come because so much of that process is instilling confidence in investors, and even the most conservative take, even the most I am down to clown with Elon Musk person will see this and think,
That's a dumb
decision. He just does not know how to run a social media platform. He does not know how to run a website.
I think he's far enough removed from Tesla being such a gold star to investors. I mean, because he's not really involved in that that much anymore. His whole thing the last year has been Twitter and how bad he is at running it, and him being like, haha, I'm bad at this, lol, and then being bad at it. And then also Tesla, people definitely don't like Tesla like they used to.
No.
Because long term, stuff is finally coming out with Tesla. Just kind of assumed that Tesla cars would have the longevity of normal cars because that's what companies have done for the last 100 years is that they would have longevity. But no, it turns out when you reinvent cars, you're gonna run into a lot of fucking issues with longevity and a million other things that car companies had figured out. And when you reinvent it, those same issues crop back up again. And you're realizing that when you buy a Tesla, you might not have it for 15 years. That might be a 3 or 4 year type deal. And
it's a lot of money to spend on something that's gonna get you through preschool.
I think I read something somewhere that Tesla support was told to actively lie to customers about how far they could get on battery charges.
Yeah,
it was so bad that they lied so bad that people assumed the car was broken. And then would schedule a maintenance appointment, because you have to do that at official Tesla locations. And then the Tesla representatives were told to just basically keep delaying the appointment forever. Like, just like, keep canceling it and rescheduling it forever, never address it, and then just hope that they drop it one day and stop talking about the fact that their range is like half of what we told them it would be.
This is going to be like a huge class action lawsuit, right? Like, that's fraud. Like, that the Sunshine Act or some shit? Mm. You know, the False Claims Act. Like, this is a huge deal.
But they always had the asterisk of, like, under ideal conditions and everything like that. So they can just claim, like, when we tested it in a wind tunnel with perfect conditions, we got this range. So don't blame us. Like,
yeah, but then all they would have to do is say, okay, well, then we'll test it in those conditions and then see that it doesn't get that.
We tested it with 140 mile an hour tailwind and and also under 50% gravity. And also just like,
we attached sails.
There's actually a rocket engine on the back in this version.
As someone living in Los Angeles, which, yeah, I don't have the exact numbers on this, and there are probably more Teslas in San Francisco than Los Angeles, but hell of a lot of Teslas in Los Angeles. I feel like all of them are driven by Uber drivers at this point, which is kind of fitting because, a company that's kind of a scam, that is kind of a well-known scam that we're just like letting them exist because we let them usurp taxis, which were also a little bit of a scam. And we don't have any infrastructure to replace Teslas right now. It would make sense that, like, oh yeah, that's what's keeping Tesla aloft, that they are just being sold to people leasing cars to be driven exclusively as Ubers. And it's just a scam market all the way down.
And Hertz did it, right? Like, right before the pandemic, Hertz made their entire fleet Teslas. Ooh. Now they're probably like, what the fuck have we done?
Oh my God. And then they can absolutely be sued. Hertz can be sued if they rent someone a car saying, yeah, you can get this far in this car. And then they can't.
Yeah.
Oh, fuck.
Well, and so much of Tesla, like, if you're going on a road trip and you plug in your destination into the map, it like auto designates the supercharger stations that you have to go to in order to, you know, properly make it there. And yeah, like, people will not make it to their scheduled supercharger station that the Tesla told them to go to make sure that they'd get to their destination because their mileage is wrong. And yeah, they'll blame like user error. You probably accelerated too fast and stressed the battery or something like that. Meanwhile, they're bragging about like their 0 to 60 times and everything. So it's like, well, feels like that's supposed to be a feature that you're not delivering on.
I mean, it doesn't help that the cars are just IEDs on wheels. Well, there's the problem. There's no gas in it. Just high explosives.
That's like the actual solution is the battery swap thing. But yeah, then you have a storage facility just full of high explosives, just sitting on the side of the road, just waiting for someone to get the idea. So, yeah.
The Washington football team was sold to Jersey Devils and Philly 76ers owner Josh Harris for $6 billion. Snyder is to pay a $60 million fine to the league for various improprieties.
It better go back to the Washington football team.
Fucking right.
Yeah.
That's what I want. I saw someone saying, though, that they were considering going back to the slur.
Oh.
That's not a lot.
Can you imagine? The argument was that, like, the only reason that Snyder did it is because he was under political pressure for all these other scandals, and so he was like throwing the media a bone, and that they want to go back to tradition or whatever.
I mean, there are a lot of fans that do want to go back
fans.
Because they're all racist assholes.
I can see some marketing manager giving a presentation saying that the slur has such greater market penetration than Commanders. But like,
well, Commanders is a terrible ass name.
It's bad. They were the Washington football team, and they owned
it. People liked it. Yeah.
You know, this is the Washington football team.
I mean, it's soccer. I wouldn't mind if, like, all nicknames became more or less unofficial, you know? Like, that's the same in soccer, where, like, every club has a club name, and then there's nicknames that, like, fans come up with, or, like, the city is known for, that, like, kind of becomes applied, like, it never used to be this official, like, this is the official team name. Like,
yeah.
So, I don't know.
Does anyone know? Okay, so the actual name of the team is Manchester City. The nickname Man City is pretty good. Yeah, I like that one.
That's not their nickname, though.
Oh.
That's not a ref. That's not just like an abbreviation. A funny, ooh, men.
That's a nickname, though.
No, it's not.
An abbreviation.
Well, yeah.
I'm sorry, so me, Lucas, people calling me Luke, that's not a nickname? That's an abbreviation?
But you're talking about it like they call it Man City because it's like a manly city. Man does not mean like human or like men. it's just Manchester without the in Chester.
Yeah, people call them like the Sky Blues.
Oh, it's so much worse than Man City.
No, but like, of course they call them Man City because, again... Yeah. Just an abbreviation. Same with Man United, like, which is also Manchester United. It's not because it has anything to do with men, or as Andrew says it, Hugh Man.
Hugh Man. Man.
I'm just like you, Hugh Man.
This one is more just like the more you know kind of news item. Anita Sarkeesian to shutter the feminist focused critique and nonprofit feminist frequency outlet in 2024. This is the outlet that was kind of at the center of the Gamergate hate campaign. Wild that this isn't going to exist anymore. I remember for an article I had to like dig into their work a little while back. I don't think they've been putting out much lately, but it's like, wow, okay, so this chapter of gamer history is coming to a close, and that's weird.
Hey, I'm just happy that she's still a public figure.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like, is she the most cyberbullied person of all time? Like, genuinely? I cannot think of a single more cyberbullied person in terms of, like, extremity of the hate. Like, Rebecca Black and stuff. Like,
yeah.
In terms of volume, but, like, the pure, utter vitriol and death threats and rape threats. And all, like, that's just kind of another level.
For making feminist 101, like, literal base level feminist critique of video games.
Yeah, you're not allowed to do that.
No. You're also not allowed to go full mug graphics regarding Armored Core 6, which is what the people at the Fextralife wiki platform did. And I will be the first to admit I am biased as somebody who is employed by a different wiki platform. But like, I don't know. I saw this clip, and it's like, what a fucked up way to lose like a decade's worth of goodwill.
So like, is this the one? I thought I saw it and I was like, wait, what? Like, the graphics are fine.
Right.
Yeah. Okay, good. Just making sure.
Yeah.
Because I was just like, it literally looked totally fine. Like, yeah, they're not fancy.
Their whole thing was like, yeah, but that's what they're saying. Like, well, this game developer has so much goodwill and they've made so many good games. You would think that they would use that money to make better graphics, because the graphics are not mind blowing. And with this tier of game developer, they should be mind blowing. But that is such a weird criticism to be like, this game developer has made a lot of really, really good games that look like this.
Yeah.
And I don't like that they haven't, you know, used the money on graphics instead of making the good games that they've made.
Yeah, it's like a gameplay focused game. Like, the
graphics are what they need to be. But like,
yeah, it's more about how it feels. It's like the combat. Why would you? I don't get it.
No one is showing up for High Fidelity for Armored Core 6. They're showing up to play a small business owner whose business is Giant Robot. Like that. That's why I have my copy pre-ordered. That's what I'm showing up for.
Yeah. Do you think he got a PPP loan? Hey, man. It's rough out here in the giant armored robot business during COVID. I need some federal support.
Ryan, if that is a mini game in this, if there is a mini game,
apply for a PPP loan.
Apply for space government subsidy for your giant robot small business.
Now ask for forgiveness and then go online and post a rant about how lazy millennials and Gen Z people are and how they don't want to work anymore and how socialism is evil.
Now siphon the money off to your ex-quarterback friend's daughter's volleyball team.
Guys, if we reincorporate and establish headquarters in Space Delaware, like we're saving so much money on the back end. You have no
robot
idea.
Private equity.
All right, I've got my private equity account all set up in Space Barbados. Total tax haven. No one will ever know.
Listen, if these savings are what they are projected to be, we're on track to go space public in 3 years now.
Damn. On Space Wall Street? You're going to hit the Space Dow Jones?
That's
all
one
the
thing.
All the way to the space moon. Yeah.
when you see space. when you read or like watch sci-fi shit and all these places have like ooh edgy names like Zaxion 12 and like Draconius and shit like that, you got to know that in real life they would just be called like Space Australia.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, we're going over to this new planet in this other solar system, Space Nebraska.
Yeah.
New China.
Right, we got New York.
This is the seventh China.
Fucking New Jersey and all that shit. That's what it would be.
Yeah.
Maybe exactly. They throw a Neo in there instead.
Yeah, Neo
Ooh,
America.
It's Neo Tokyo. Ooh, it's space.
Last but not least for news, the bubble has burst. The Overwatch Esports League is essentially dead as Blizzard lays off 50-some staffers in that division. This comes after a player strikes in response to Blizzard trying to reduce the number of teams. Probably isn't good for the future of Overwatch, Overwatch 2 either, as pretty much every design decision in that game is based on both appeasing esports players, making the esports league more interesting to watch, and like potentially funneling new talent into that space. So, yeah. Dead game.
Can you imagine if like an actual pro sports league tried to reduce the amount of teams? Like we talk about expansion drafts and everything like that, and how, oh, you have to protect X number of players, and like the new expansion team gets these advantages to try to be competitive. Like just the opposite happens, and it's just like, oh, the New England Patriots are folding. Their players will now be available for all teams. Like I don't know how that would go about. That sounds weird. I'm sure it happened back in the day.
Yeah.
But I don't know what that would look like in 2023 with these billion-dollar franchises to just like evaporate one day.
I think I heard about that in the Canadian Football League. Like there is a team or two that like they haven't been able to meet funding to like staff a team. Mm. They're kind of like honorary members of the league, like very weird stuff. That poses an interesting question though. We don't have to stick to just the NFL. What professional sports team do you think is the closest to just, yeah, we're cashing out, we're done?
I think it was the Raiders until they moved to Vegas.
Yeah.
The Raiders were on fucking life support, man.
Yeah, because they were trying to get the city to do shit for them, and the city was like, no, we're not going to do that. And then, they were able to get Las Vegas to basically say, yeah, we'll take you. We'll take care of all your needs, little baby football team. We
build you a brand new stadium.
We want to draw people in.
Yeah. Now the Athletics are pretty bad right now, yeah, but that's just because the owner's trying to move them.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's the, yeah, it, it's funny because it's like it's the Oakland. Same. Yeah. Yeah, it's the same city. And they're like, no, I mean, people are saying that the Raiders might have like fucked the A's.
Right.
But, you know, the city was like, well, we didn't do it for the fucking Raiders. You think we're going to do it for the goddamn Oakland Athletics?
We're the Moneyball team. They made that movie about us.
The movie was about how bad they were. They were so bad that they had to create a new way of playing baseball.
Yeah. That's literally the whole movie. I just watched it on the plane. Now, I don't know that that exists. I feel like the owner would just sell the team and then new money would come in and like fix it up.
Yeah, do something with it.
Move it, relocate to a new city. And
yeah, the price would be baked into it of like, hey, we're going to have to do all this shit to make the team competitive and marketable again.
Yeah, I don't know.
We're only going to pay $5 billion instead of $6.5 billion.
Yeah. Damaged asset. That's guaranteed money because the NFL actually has socialism baked into its in revenue structure.
Moving to the stuff we've checked out. Ryan, have you had a chance to see Barbie or Oppenheimer yet?
I have not.
Okay. I
got to see them on the... I got to see Oppenheimer on IMAX. Barbie, not as much, but didn't get a chance to.
Mm.
So...
Man, we cannot be three cis white guys talking about Barbie or Oppenheimer on this podcast. That is a shame.
Damn.
What have y'all been checking out?
I saw Barbie.
Jesus Christ.
I've been playing a lot of Jedi Survivor.
Yeah.
After I beat Zelda Tears of the Kingdom, I got back into... Jedi Survivor, which that game is just, it's fun to play. It's not Tears of the Kingdom, but like it is just fun to play and nerd out. It's like really well designed. And there's a lot of just like stupid fun shit in it. We're like, ooh, I can make my lightsaber basically a longsword. That's fucking dope. Ooh, I can have a lightsaber and a gun.
Fuck yeah.
It completely changes up the way you play the game. Yeah, not a lot other than that.
Yeah, I was telling Andrew that I watched like half the first season of Netflix's Quarterback, which is an in-depth look at what NFL quarterbacks do to play on a regular basis. Season one follows Patrick Mahomes, like the indisputed best quarterback in the NFL. Kirk Cousins, the plexiglass anti-vaxxer, who is a bit of a weird guy. And Marcus Mariota, who like started for half the season and then gets benched and like all that stuff. And I was telling Andrew that the best part of the series so far is the fact that Kirk Cousins is just getting fucking walloped. Like he just, that man is like, say what you will, but he is a tough son of a bitch. Like he really should have been knocked out of multiple games. He was the most hit quarterback in the NFL for the first half of the season. And you're just, he's mic'd up every game and you're watching, like, you're not only watching the hits and the immediate aftermath, but then you watch him like go home and like struggle and just be like, ah, yeah, there's some really bad bruising in there. It's not visible yet, but like, it's there. Trust me. Like it's real deep. And then like, he has like chiropractors coming in and working on him. And he has like therapists and ice baths and all this stuff, and he clearly has like severely bruised ribs, and then he goes out to play against the Commanders and he just gets like he throws and it's in that perfect position where his arm's up and he's completely exposed to the midsection and just gets decked by some dude's shoulder running at full speed. Like the lineman didn't even slow him down. And he's on the ground just moaning. He's just like, and like none of his linemen are coming to help him. And the guy who hit him kind of taps him on the ass. He's like, you'll be all right. And just kind of like runs away. And no one's helping him still. And he's just like, and his coach is like in his ear going like, hey, Kirk, I need you, man. Like, we got to go. It's 2 minute offense. Like, the clock's moving. And he's just fucking knocked out on the ground. Like, And then finally, like, when the trainers get over to him, he's like, I just got the wind knocked out of me. I'm okay. And he, like, can barely talk. And then he's just like, did we score? And they're like, no, he got tackled at the four. And he's like, I would have gotten up if I knew that. And he, like, kind of, like, stumbles to his feet and, like, runs over to the, like, limp runs over to the huddle. And then, like, yeah, takes a snap and throws a touchdown pass on the next play. But it's just like, what the actual fuck? Like, and then, like, hard cut to Patrick Mahomes, who's just, like, doing some weird little, like, dive throw shit. And then, like, getting up and be like, I'm him. I'm that guy. And, like, celebrating and just, like, this shit's so easy, man. I don't get it. Like, what's the big deal? It comes back to Kirk Cousins and he's just, like, in agony on the sideline, and Adam Thielen comes up to him and is like, hey man, on that other, I had backside post was what, and he's just like, yeah, I can't right now. He's just like, all right, cool. I can't do it. And then he's like, cuts to an interview and he's like, sometimes people try to like talk to me and I'm just kind of like, can't do this. Like, I'm in severe pain. I can't even understand you right now. So just watching like this anti-vaxxer loser, who's just like also a religious zealot, all this other stuff, just like really suffer. It's kind of fun and hilarious. And
why does God keep giving me his toughest battles?
Yeah.
Do you think the show will ever fully take the plunge and dedicate any time to, I believe, former quarterback Andrew Luck, who for all intents and purposes did leave football because the game just physically destroyed him?
I mean, it literally follows like their season. So it's active players. You watch them play and then you watch them go home and like study film with their wife. And then you watch them like go to a pumpkin patch with their kid. And then you watch them like go to practice. And like, it's like a just literally day in the life of NFL quarterbacks. And so I was so surprised that like literally Patrick Mahomes is in the first season. Cause like,
they must have paid him so much money.
I feel like that'd be such a distraction, and like, you know, the outcome, like
they won, yeah, the they win the goddamn year. Super Bowl.
So it's kind of a weird, it's going to be a weird document of that moment.
If we get Kyler Murray talking about high level Call of Duty strats, like that would be
Kyler Murray be might crazy. Not play football this year.
Yeah.
Oh no. What? My fantasy team. Oh no.
You were going to draft Kyler Murray.
Oh, I shouldn't have said anything. Just let him do it.
He was serviceable for me last year, I will say that.
Well, yeah, Kyler Murray is a good fantasy quarterback because he runs a lot, and he had a couple of good wide receivers, and now they're all gone, and he tore his ACL. And
yeah, he doesn't want to play. Yeah.
Speaking of Netflix shows, even though this one stopped being a Netflix show and it's really weird, my girlfriend Maria and I watched, for her, rewatched all of Tuca and Birdie from Lisa Hanawalt, the BoJack Horseman creator. This is a really good show.
Not creator, but yeah.
Or a contributor, yeah.
One of the members of the team.
Right. Really good show. I see why it was canceled twice, though, because I have no idea how you pitch this to executives or how you market it.
And the algorithm. Like,
yes.
Netflix, baby. It's a Netflix original. It made it for two seasons, right?
Netflix only one, and then it did two following seasons on Adult Swim.
Ah.
Yeah. But even all Adult Swim, I get it. Like, this is a weird animated show that's kind of about nothing, but it's geared towards women, and that's not maybe Adult Swim's bread and butter, unfortunately.
Yeah, I know Ian watched season one, and I would catch it, and it just seemed pretty out there.
It is, in a way that is fantastic, but also, boy, is it dealing with a lot of, like, it's one of those shows that's using, like, the animation medium and comedy to, like, cover, to make its heavier subject matters, like sexual assault or mortality or infertility, like a lot more digestible.
It definitely reminded me of a lot of Adult Swim shows from the bits that I saw, in that it was just like kind of incomprehensible to an outsider. And like, yeah, I can't imagine tuning into Adult Swim to season 2, episode 6 and like being like, all right, I'm in. Like it's not grounded in anything. It felt like it was just like, now let's do shit. Let's go crazy with it. And yeah, I don't know, man.
I guess I can see it. I guess it's like a slightly dialed up, although I guess like it being an animated medium kind of implies that, version of Broad City. Like if you liked Broad City, I imagine you would very much like Tuca and Birdie.
Makes sense, yeah.
Also, like this is weird to say about a show that is like a great, and like this is like my partner agrees, is like a really great dive into, hey, this is what it's like to be a woman, kind of, as a weird compliment to give a show that's principally about and for women. Steven Yeun's just fantastic in it.
Dude, Steven Yeun's really good in everything.
Yeah. Dude, no, he brought it.
He's got some serious acting chops. And the fact that he will randomly do like stupid ass children's voice acting gigs is so funny.
Voice acting's a check, man.
He shows up. He puts in the work.
It's minimal. I maintain voice acting is easier than acting. I don't care what anyone says. It just is. There's a reason that A-listers are constantly doing that type of shit, because it is easy, like, in comparison to show up into a booth in air conditioning, record your lines for a couple hours, get your check, and walk out. Like,
I still gotta watch Beef, god damn it. Like, I always forget that I gotta watch Beef.
Did you ever watch Minari?
No, I tried to a couple times, Minari. Couldn't find it on streaming. I think now it's on Hulu or something.
I highly recommend Minari.
I watched the first couple episodes of The Witcher with Jade. That show sucks.
Yeah, dude, that show's awful.
Wait, I thought you were big into The Witcher.
We were.
Oh.
Like, we really liked season 1. I know you guys didn't.
I didn't.
I don't know how far you got into it. Season 2 had its moments, but, like, a lot of it was kind of like, okay, what? This season is such a slog, and they keep introducing more characters and more storylines, and they keep splitting up. And it's like, what the fuck is going on? Why do I care about these people? Like, motivations are switching so fast. It's kind of dog shit. And people are like, oh man, maybe this is why Henry Cavill got out of there.
Well, by all accounts, it kind of sounds like the order of operations is different. I think Henry Cavill made his intentions to leave very clear. And then that energy permeated the rest of the season. At least that's from my understanding.
Well, he left because they were going to do more Superman shit. And then he left. Then they hired one of the Hemsworths, I think, to replace him. Mm-hmm. And then sometime later, they canceled the Superman movies. So then he's like, what do I do now? And he's making like a Warhammer TV show.
Of course.
Some other nerd shit.
He's like the nerdiest fucking Greek god who's ever lived.
Speaking of nerd shit, I'm Zeno's paradoxing my way through Final Fantasy 16, where I dislike this game so much that I keep finding excuses not to play it, but I have to beat it before I can buy another game. So I'm just, completing Final Fantasy 16 more slowly each time.
How many hours do you have in it right now?
I don't know. I got 40.
You can put it down.
Yeah,
you can stop. If you don't enjoy it 40 hours in, it's
you're not
going to
get
stop.
Anything good out of it. And I'm sorry, because like I knew you were really excited about this game. I'm sorry that you don't like it. But also, as much, you know, as fun as it is talking to you about something we both like, it's way more fun to shit on something that you do like and I don't. So I wish you liked this game.
Wow. If that doesn't sum up our relationship. But no, guys, what if in like the last hour, the climate change metaphor villain that made us stop addressing like real social issues in this universe like does a 180 and is actually interesting. What if that happens?
I don't know, man. You could play Horizon.
What's next on the hopper that you want to play but you're not able to?
Armored Core 6 comes out at the end of the month. But then, and there's going to be some other nerd shit. There is a game whose name I'm not going to be able to remember. And even if I did, I probably couldn't pronounce it. That's like a hybrid visual novel, hybrid death game thing where you're...
Play a game on your backlog. Like, mm-hmm. Go find a game that came out a couple years ago that you never got around to. Buy it for $20. Or, like, replay a game that you really liked that you played before that you want to, like, give another go. Don't put another 40 hours into a game that makes you upset. You got your money's worth, that's for sure.
Probably didn't.
I'm so close to the end.
Are you close to the end, though?
Like, I killed like the second to last boss. I think now it's just a couple of optional side quests if I want to.
Well, then don't just beeline it to the end.
Yeah, that's when I like nose to the grindstone and just go for it. Like, I remember Red Dead Redemption 2, Last of Us 2. It was just like, all right, end is near. This is going to be a 6-hour play session where I just finish and get out of here. Like, yeah.
Then am I getting my value's worth? Can I say I have played all of Final Fantasy 16 if I don't experience all of Final Fantasy 16?
You don't have to 100%.
100%ing a game that you don't like because you want to get your money's worth.
Dude, there's people that are still playing Skyrim. They've got 13,000 hours into that one game that came out 10 years ago. You don't have to do that shit with Final Fantasy.
That game I'm kind of eyeing up as a filler until Armored Core comes out is called Paranormal Sight. $20 on Steam and less than that to finish it.
There you go.
Yeah.
Y'all ever play Guitar Hero?
Yes.
Yes.
I never did.
And
now you are.
Well, Jade and I watched a video by Drew Gooden of all people.
Drew Gooden, yeah. I watched that.
Yeah, and when we heard about Clone Hero, we're like, oh shit, you know, we can load that up and play. And I said, I've always wanted to learn how to play the guitar, but what?
You're not gonna do that with Guitar Hero.
No. Let me finish. But okay. I don't have the dexterity in my left hand. Like, I've always wanted to switch to the other hand, but I could never get it because I took a single guitar lesson and they told me I was unteachable.
Wow.
And so then I tried giving Guitar Hero a try and I couldn't figure that shit out and never gave it a go after that, even though I always thought it would be a lot of fun. Jade has an old Guitar Hero controller in our storage unit from her PlayStation 3 or some shit. Mm-hmm. We're like, could we get an adapter for that and plug it into the computer? And I think I'm going to do that and try to give Clone Hero a try.
Yeah, Clone Hero's lit. I've had it for a few years. Hmm. I have the Steam Link so I can play PC games on my TV, and I can plug my Guitar Hero controller into the Steam Link and play Clone Hero on my TV, which is fucking lit.
Does Clone Hero have all of the songs? I know Guitar Hero is old enough now that some of those licenses are getting a little dicey.
It's like
it's unlicensed.
Oh, yeah. All right.
It's all fucking stolen. It's all pirated. And then people also make user charts. Like, you can have uncharted songs that never were on any Guitar Heroes or Rock Bands or anything. But then, any song that was in a Rock Band or Guitar Hero was on there. And then people, put memes on there. Lately, a trend is people will go on Clone Hero, where someone charted, Shrek 2, for example.
Like, the whole movie?
Yeah, and they just play Shrek 2 as, a way to get around the sensors and shit. And yeah, they're just watching Shrek 2 and like hitting a few notes here and there. And yeah, then everyone just watches Shrek 2 on their live stream or whatever. So it's another thing that people do. But yeah, it's all just like pirated stuff.
But oh, I've been really cool. Watching My Adventures with Superman as well.
Lois is so mad.
What?
Everyone like freaked out because Lois was mad when Superman revealed that he was Superman or whatever.
I didn't feel any kind of way about that.
Oh, okay.
I was surprised that it's like, oh, we're doing this early. She's finding out early that this guy who looks exactly like Superman is Superman.
Looks fucking identical to Superman.
No, but his hair is slicked back.
This is pushed back, not slicked.
No.
I don't know. People were just like fucking upset. They were sick of that storyline. And like it is in Invincible too, which is also a little exhausting, I think, in a lot of times. Just like, oh, I'm a teenager, my secret.
I watched the Adam Eve like mini. Like,
it was, I like, saw that on Amazon long. Prime. Yeah.
Yeah. I was like, oh, this is out today. I'm not doing anything over lunch. I'll give it a shot. I haven't seen Invincible in a really long time. It was all right.
Yeah. When's season 2 come out? I know they
announced it. I think it's in November or something.
I haven't watched any material from it, but I saw that they announced it. No trailers.
Oh my god, I also watched the Venture Brothers movie.
It's out?
Yeah, no. Hmm. On Amazon. You can get it right now.
The one with the really dumb name.
You think it's dumb until it becomes very relevant. I enjoyed it a lot. I wish there was a bit more like a character interaction, because that was always the heart and soul of the show. But it doesn't like wrap everything up in a clean bow. I don't know if the Venture Brothers could ever do that with with an infinite amount of time. But it's a good send off. It's a good wrap to a series.
Oh, this
that
is the end.
Unless they get picked up by somebody else, but that's less than likely.
This is supposed to be the end of the story?
Yes.
Huh.
Yeah.
Well, that sucks. Sorry, man.
Yeah. You know what? I'm happy with it ending here. We finally found out why the Monarch hates Dr. Venture. Maybe, kind of. And it's hilarious.
I thought it was because they had the same dad or something.
Uh-oh.
You know? Maybe that's a part of it. Maybe watch all of the Venture Brothers and then the movie.
I watched the Super Mario Brothers movie. Did both of you guys see it? I forgot. I know I'm really late to the party.
No, I haven't seen it.
I have seen it, yeah.
Not very good.
Yeah, not fair.
Not that good of a movie. I think I went in with higher expectations than most people because everyone was like, you know what? Pretty good movie. I was like, ooh, yikes.
It is the back half of that sentence. Pretty good movie for a kid's movie. Doing a lot of lifting on the high praise of that movie. I enjoyed it just because I was DiCaprioing the entire time because I recognized all of the references. But
I mean, what were the references? Like, that's a Goomba. That's a like. No, that's the wrong franchise. What were the references?
This character Spike is the foreman from the first ever Mario Brothers game when they're construction workers, or they're playing like a knockoff version of Donkey Kong in the background, or the stage design of this one segment perfectly matches the level design of the first episode, the first level of the Super Mario Brothers game, like shit like that.
Okay.
Yeah. A lot of sound. Now that.
Yeah,
about
a
it
lot
too.
Of like theme songs in like climactic moments. And then it feels very shoehorned because it's just like, yeah, but this doesn't sound good. But they do like
that, but cinematic.
Yeah. Like an orchestral version of like, dun, 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 dun. And it's just like, I get it. It's not It doesn't sound good though. Like, just because it's Mario does not mean that it's good. And I don't know, just like the pacing was fucking whack. Like, it just all of a sudden it was just like, all right, we're going to the end now. I kept thinking that like one of the characters was a narc, and then they just kind of didn't do that. I thought that Jack Black as Bowser was going to be a lot more based on everyone's reaction, and it wasn't. It was
He's
kind of
not in a
disappointing.
lot of that movie, yeah.
Nope. Luigi's not in that in the movie that much either.
The Mario Brothers are not together for a lot of that
For
movie.
like 80% of the movie. And yeah, there's one, the what's it called? The suicidal star got spoiled for me, so that was probably like the
Yeah.
highlight of the movie for a lot of people, and it wasn't as funny. So yeah, not great. Highest grossing movie of 2023 for now, though.
I think Barbie just cleared a
No.
billion, but
Yeah.
Mario Brothers was at 1.3 billion.
No way.
I think the difference maker is that Mario global
International.
brand. Nobody knows Barbie outside of the US.
Yep.
Yeah.
Well, fuck me.
And that's how we're ending episode 227 of the Voluntary Viewing Podcast. If you like what you heard, like, comment, subscribe, give us money, like the cool people who support us on Patreon already: Tiffany Cole, Sucky Badger, and Sensual Richard Nixon. Act Blue link in the description to give money to some great causes. God, what else? Follow us on Twitter at V2 underscore podcast. I might have said that already. Email us your questions, business opportunities, voluntary viewing at gmail.com. Follow me at Lucas DeRuyter on Twitter to keep up with everything I have going on, including my writing and live streams that I've been doing regularly at the Git. No, it's just called Fandom. Fandom Twitch channel. And also follow me on Blue Sky. I'm still Lucas DeRuyter over there. I have two invite codes. If you're cool, if you can handle it, I can get you on Blue Sky. Microblogging in its purest form. Okay, goodbye.